chief information officers know more now about longstanding issues with federal IT security thanks to the cyber breaches at the Office of Personnel Management. Those problems date back to the 1990s. Richard Spires is CEO of Resilient Network Systems, former chief information officer at the Department of Homeland Security, and writing about three big problems with federal IT security. Richard, it's great to talk to you again. You testified to the Senate Appropriations Financial Services and General Government Subcommittee back in June and talked about these same principles. And you write in this piece that you have up about this that beginning in the 1990s and up through the present, the government hasn't properly managed IT because it's failed to effectively adapt with the changes in IT and the evolving cybersecurity threat. What has been the reason or reasons that you think that adaptation hasn't happened? Thanks for coming on today, Richard.
Yeah, Francis, thanks for having me. Yeah, regarding what's happened since 1990s, I mean, a couple of major points. I mean, first, with the highly decentralized way in which IT has been managed, you know, we've really evolved to a situation where we have a tremendous amount of complexity. It's very difficult for an agency CIO or even a bureau or component CIO to really get their arms around what they've got. And hence, you have a lot of, lack of best practices when it comes to things like basic patch management or upgrades of systems to the current releases of software that they should be running on. You know, all of those things lead to a lot of vulnerabilities. And so that's the primary reason, which is, it's interesting because it's not a cybersecurity reason, but it's really about managing your IT infrastructure and your applications appropriately. That's the best way you can protect yourself. And then layered on that, you know, we have the way in which we've done cybersecurity. And, you know, back in the 90s, you know, when there was not much in the way of networking, the internet was just beginning to evolve, you know, there wasn't that much risk. But we just have failed as the adversaries have moved very quickly. We just haven't kept up. And things like the FISMA law that was passed in 2002, while it was good for its time, very quickly became outdated. And this notion that you can lock down system by system and that somehow that's going to make you secure is just, you know, now viewed as just a wrong-headed notion. You really need to be looking across your whole enterprise, and you really need to be looking at doing continuous monitoring of all of your systems to understand your security posture.
When you talk about complexity, too, it sounds like you're talking about complexity of the network and, you know, if you were to draw out a diagram of it, not the complexity of the technology.
Oh, that's right. I mean, the complexity of the network and the systems and the fact that you're asking CIOs to be managing everything from antiquated systems that were probably put into the 1970s that still run all the way up to the most modern technologies and everything in between. And not even having good tools and perhaps even not even understanding everything that's on your network. That was certainly some, you know, we would run into those problems all the time where, you know, program offices would put things onto the network and they hadn't been properly vetted. They, you know, clearly hadn't gone through all the security hoops that they should have.
We went through a period of time, I would estimate, in the mid to late 2000s, where the rage at the time was IT architecture, and people talked about the way that their systems were mapped out. That's kind of gone by the wayside. Is that because that discussion has become moot, or it's just not sexy to talk about it anymore, do you think, Richard?
Yeah, I like your term. I think it's just not sexy, but it's so important. I mean, to rationalize and simplify your infrastructure and your systems over time is really, I think, one of the key jobs of a CIO. Because you, in order to, you know, the other thing, and Tony Scott's been talking about this, right? Spending upwards of 75 or 80% on O&M because just to maintain all these systems, you know, unless you start to simplify that environment and start to consolidate, that's the only way you're going to free up the kind of funds to both better secure everything, but also to be able to build new things.
I mentioned at the beginning of our conversation that you're writing about three big problems with federal IT security. Lack of IT management best practices is the first one, and the things that we've talked about so far primarily fit under that one. And you've kind of already answered partially one of the questions that I had about this one, which was when you're referring to the lack of best practices, did you mean within each agency or cross government? And it sounds like the answer to that might be yes.
Yeah, I think that's fair. It's yes. Yes to both.
The second point that you're writing about is misguided IT security practices, and you touched on the FISMA law from 2002. Do you have confidence that revisiting that would make a difference, or is the threat landscape changing fast enough that legislation's not the issue, that it's really up to the leadership in each agency to define and maintain a security posture that suits the risk management tolerance of each agency?
Yeah, well, that's, I mean, and the backbone of FISMA is that, and of course the law was updated recently, and it has brought in much more modern concepts. Now, I think the IGs and GAO and everybody is starting to adapt, and, you know, rollout of CDM is helpful, but that really is the intro to the third major problem, right? The acquisition process and the speed at which government moves to address these issues is just much too slow. I mean, the adversaries are moving very, very quickly, very persistent, and we're just not keeping up in government with bringing in new technologies, new capabilities fast enough to continually address those threats.
I've heard this paralleled with the problems that sometimes the Defense Department has when it comes to fighting adversaries, because the adversaries don't seem to have an acquisition department. They need something, they go get it, and it sounds like that's the same issue in our IT threat landscape. When a bad guy wants to try to break into something, he just figures out what he needs. He doesn't have to go through this long process to be able to do it, and so that puts federal government defenses automatically at a disadvantage, it sounds like.
I would absolutely agree with that. And in fact, that's such a disadvantage. I mean, when it takes years sometimes to get these new capabilities on board, you know, that's just not, it just can't be acceptable. And I realize we have the cyber sprint that's just gone on, and I think there's a much more sense of urgency about really dealing with these issues. But I think you fundamentally are going to have to look at that acquisition process, at least when it comes to this kind of technology, to address cybersecurity threats.
And it seems to me there has to be some kind of way that you can maintain the basic concepts of the FAR for fair and open competition and all of those other things that are desirable in the federal contracting process and still be able to add some juice to it, to let agencies get what they need faster and still be able to make everybody happy.
Yeah, I mean, I would like to see the federal government on the, you know, some acquisition leadership to go study major corporations. I mean, these guys, you know, they try to instill a lot of competition in what they do. Yet when they need to move fast, they can move fast. You know, I think it can be done, Francis. I don't think this is something that's insurmountable, and yet still be able to abide by the tenets of the FAR around real fair competition. But we just need to be, I mean, things that are taking months or even years, agencies need to be able to do in weeks now.
Well, and that's why I wonder about the legislative provisions of FISMA or the update or any of those kinds of things, because I imagine nobody anticipated when the original bill passed in 2002 that by 2012, let's say, a lot of the provisions would not be applicable or desirable anymore. But I have a pretty good idea that when the update passed, we all knew that within a relatively short period of time, there would be things that we hadn't thought of that it doesn't necessarily cover.
But I mean, I think that's a bit of the issue we have with a lot of legislation. And look, I mean, Congress, I give them a lot of credit for trying to address these issues. It's just that with IT moving so fast, right? A lot of these things should be updated every few years. And in fact, I would even argue, like let's take the FITARA legislation, which I actually think is pretty good. If you look at it, the good news about it is it's really not specific to IT as much as it's trying to address the management issues that go with IT. People don't change, right? The management challenges don't change in the sense that doesn't going to need to be updated every couple years. As once you start addressing technology issues, then of course you're going to be out of date very quickly.
Yeah, and I guess that's the rub of all of this is figuring out a framework or figuring out what exists in the framework that we have now that allows CIOs and the other leaders in the C-suite to incorporate as much of the technology challenges as they can into the managerial framework so that they have that flexibility. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's what we need to do. And clearly, with FITARA having passed, if it's implemented correctly, It should have legs, right? It should be able to last for a long time if it's implemented correctly, because it's really addressing getting the right balance, if you will, so that the technology issues are addressed effectively, irrespective of the technology itself and the state of it. And so 5 years from now, we'll be talking about different technologies, right? But those management dynamics should hopefully be much better than they are today if ATAR is successful.